This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Thank you, Byron. The Beltway Blitz is jam-packed. We got to talk about the Nats getting some reinforcements back. We could see the debuts of Josh Bell and Kyle Schwarber tonight. That's exciting. But the Caps have just made a massive trade. So let's get into the trade deadline and the Capitals right now on our Beltway Blitz. Ben Raby is all over the Caps radio network. You hear him pre and post, and he helps John Walton out in intermission during the games as well. Ben, let's start with the blockbuster. I got to tell you, I'm a huge Jake Vrana guy. I think he's going to score 40 goals at some point. I now hope, I guess, that doesn't happen. But Anthony Mantha's a good player. Break down what the Caps are giving up and what they're getting in this deal that is not yet official, but I've been told is happening.
Yeah, Anthony Mantha coming to Washington just made official just within the past couple of minutes, actually. So what the Capitals are getting is a big boy in a 6'5", 235-pound forward, a guy who could score, not unlike Jacob Vrana. There's a couple of similarities here, Grant, in terms of Mantha and Vrana, two guys who have maybe underachieved this season and have had their consistency, their all-around games questioned at times. I reference that Anthony Mantha is a big boy. The reports out of Detroit suggesting maybe doesn't always play like a big boy, like a Tom Wilson, for example. So the thought in Detroit was there was always another level that Mantha just wasn't reaching there. And I would assume the thought in Washington as he comes to an environment like this, a win environment, which Detroit certainly is not the past few years, maybe that gets him going. And this is not a rental. This is a legit hockey trade here for the Capitals. Three more years remaining on Mantha's deal. And worth noting, Grant, he's in the first season of a four-year deal. And the fact Detroit is trading a player in year one of a four-year deal does make the antenna go up a little bit. But he's a former first-round pick. There's a lot of potential there with Mantha, not unlike Jacob Vrana. And to your point, Vrana could go into Detroit. He could see a whole lot of ice time, minutes he wasn't necessarily getting here in Washington. And he could, to your point, realize that potential, be a 25, 30-goal scorer. But this is a big price for the Capitals. Vrana, Richard Ponick, a first-round pick, and a second-round pick. So a big package going to Detroit. They certainly hope Anthony Mantha can realize his potential now here in Washington.
Benjamin, we've seen this before. You know, veteran, stoic, defensive-minded coach, young, expedient, skilled forward can't get right, right? The Burakovsky-Trotz feud or saga, whatever you want to call it, went on for months and months and months, and they finally just got tired of it. Why didn't it work for Vrana and Coach Laviolette, in your opinion?
You know what? There's a lot of top six talent here, and the ice time and the opportunities in that top six are limited. And when you're asked to play a little bit lower down the depth chart, different things will be asked of you. There might be different matchups. There might be more defensive zone face-offs, for example, defensive zone starts to shifts. And Vrana was required in these parts and under Laviolette. And look, that's not a bad thing. We've said for a long time here in Washington, and Barry Trotz provided that accountability. There's a lot of high-end talent on this team, and we see come playoff time. You got to have the all-around game. You got to be defensively responsible. You got to be able to play in your own zone, all three zones, really. And for Vrana, he had the opportunities this year, according to Laviolette. Laviolette wasn't shy in sharing this with the media. His conversations with Jacob went back to the start of training camp. And I'm sure this isn't unique, fellas, to this year either. Let's keep in mind some of the inconsistencies Vrana had over the two previous postseasons under Todd Reirden, and I'm sure coming into this year, it's kind of a make-or-break season with Verona, a new head coach, maybe a new start for him. But ultimately, 40 games in, they didn't see that improvement and had to move on.
I got a lot of stuff that is just floating around in my head on this deal, but one of my big takeaways is I think this gives them a better chance to win a cup this year. I'm not as sold maybe on how I'll feel about it 2 or 3 years out, even though Mantha is under contract. Do you agree with that at all? Like, what's your reaction to that?
At some point, right? We keep saying at some point the window will close, and that's true. At some point, you can't just keep giving up first and second round picks and expect to be a Stanley Cup contender, you know, for 5-10 years as most of the core now on the back nine of their career in their 30s. Sure, eventually this will dry up, but that being said, you have an opportunity now. And I'll say, Grant, I think one of the more underrated storylines with the Capitals, we continue to celebrate and acknowledge all the joy that 2018 provided. I think there were real missed opportunities the past 2 years that maybe don't necessarily get talked about enough for how good those teams were in terms of talent to have bowed out in the first round in each of the two previous years. So I think there's a real sense of urgency given what's here, given what could still potentially be lost this summer with an upcoming expansion draft, et cetera. So I think you're right. I think certainly, what happens years down the line, that's questionable in terms of depth and youth in the organization. Verona was a key part of that youth upcoming, but certainly they're in win now mentality and for good reason.
Yeah, you mentioned the size of the package going back. It's pretty steep, man. First and second round. Now you add in Verona. Ponick, I think, was sort of salary throw in to maybe make room for an Ovechkin contract or in this one or otherwise. But what do you make of the return here that Detroit's getting?
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. And I think the second round pick, you almost have to attach that with Ponick. If you were going to unload Ponick wherever, teams weren't lining up to take Richard Ponick with another 2 years remaining at $2.5 million. And he didn't have a fit here in Washington. He'd been in and out of the lineup of late. And that's a hefty, for what he provided or didn't provide, $2.5 million for Ponick was a lot against Washington's caps. So I think you have to attach either a prospect or a pick just to sort of include him as part of a deal to entice another team to take him and his contract for 2 more years. And then to include the first round pick here, it's a lot. There's no other way to put it. I'll be curious to hear Brian McClellan's explanation within the next couple of hours here, but there's no question. They gave up a lot here.
Ben Raby, Capitals Radio Network. Great information. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, fellas.
See you, dude.
Caps fans, we want to hear from you guys. You can line up your calls right now. We're going to be getting to the calls in just a bit at 800-636-1067. Your reactions to one of the Cup heroes and a guy that is one of the most talented players on the ice for a good team, Jake Verona, being dealt to Detroit for Anthony Mantha. Let's talk some hoops. Glenn Consor joins us, Wizards Radio Network, to discuss the ball club that you can see in person again, finally, starting a little over a week from now. How about that, Glenn? Wizards getting ready for the Jazz, and it won't be long before they're playing at COA in front of fans again.
April 21st against the Warriors. It's going to be in front of fans. It's so great. I mean, doing these games at Capital One Arena when there's no fans, from everyone's standpoint, has been difficult. But, it's no different anywhere else. So I think it's really welcome that these fans are going to be able to come in and cheer this team on.
Glenn, what have you seen from Davis Bertāns? He's had a few games where he's been unbelievable, right? A 35-point game in recent memory, and I think a 20-point game in late February, but some pretty inconsistent play from Davis over the course of the season. What have you seen from him, and kind of what are your general thoughts on his year?
I don't think he's had a great year, but I think recently he has shown flashes of what we saw last year. I think it's taken him a real long time due to a variety of reasons, injuries and, COVID and, how he came back due to a lack of, opportunity to work out. It really affected him. And, I think now he's getting his timing back. So it's an opportunity for him to hopefully close out the year on a positive note.
Glenn, Russell Westbrook has immensely impressed me from a leadership standpoint, and I really do believe he's made a lot of younger guys on this team better. I mean, you're way closer to this than I am. I don't know if you've got any stories or anecdotes along those lines, but have the Wizards gotten out of him about what they expected when they made the trade in that regard?
Yeah, I, Yeah, I mean, I think so. I think what Russ brings is incredible professionalism, more than anything. And the guy's averaging a triple-double, so that says a lot. You know, he's in the gym on off days. He's a workout nut, and he's one of these guys that leads by example. So, you know, he's constantly in the ear of especially the young guys, constantly. And they love him. You know, when Westbrook came here, I did some digging on him, and it seemed like, you know, as his reputation of being tough and all this stuff, with teammates, all his teammates love him. And there's a reason for it, because he wants to win. And look what he's doing. I mean, the numbers that guy's putting up. Look, is he turnover prone? Yes. But most point guards that monopolize the ball are turnover prone. And it seems like every time he turns it over, he atones. You know, he gets it back somehow or another. And I got to tell you something. The way he attacks the glass is contagious. I mean, I've never seen a guard his size, 6'4". It's Rodman-esque.
Yeah.
You know, he has that feel, that want, that desire to rebound. He goes in and rebounds amongst the trees. That stuff's contagious. So, I mean, I think he's been incredible for this team.
The thing you mentioned, though, Glenn, is that he dominates the basketball. That's going to happen. You got him and Bradley Beal. That's where the majority of the shots should go, right? Those two guys are so gifted at the end of the court. Kind of the downside, though, is you're not as many opportunities for some young guys like Danny Avdija to kind of play make and handle a little bit. What have you seen from him, and how can he learn to fit in along with those guys that are going to dominate the ball?
Well, you know, it's not that he dominates the ball. It's more that, you know, he's playing the point guard position, and he's also a scorer. So guys like him, like Donovan Mitchell or, you know, James Harden, you know, the list goes on, those guys have the ball in their hands. If you're open, you're going to get it. And I think, you know, that's the biggest thing that the players that play with him, the young players like Danny and Rui, are learning, that when he has the ball, if you make yourself available off the ball, which means don't stand in the same spot and let him wait for him to get you the ball, it's you got to V-cut, move to open spots to make yourself available, and you've got to have your hands ready. When that happens, you're going to get it. So I think they've learned that with Russ, and I think, you know, those guys are, you know, they're getting a great education playing with them.
We will be listening. We will be watching. Glenn, thank you, buddy. Great
Thanks,
having
bud.
You back on the show.
Thanks, guys.
You Hope. Got it. Glenn Consor of the Wizards Radio Network. Let's talk some baseball. Byron Kerr, love having him on G&D. He's actually keeping us up to date on the Fan today every 30 minutes as our anchor. Byron, let's start with the reinforcements. Miss Doubtfire once screamed as she ran across the restaurant when Stewart was choking. Help is on the way! What's going on?
Yeah, pretty exciting to hear that Josh Bell, the first baseman, the infielder Josh Harrison, and the outfielder Kyle Schwarber have been reinstated by the Nationals officially today from the injured list, so likely to be in the lineup tonight against the St. Louis Cardinals. Media personnel told us they're going to start talking at 4:45, Schwarber will, and then 5 o'clock, Josh Bell, so we'll get to hear from them and see how they're doing. But this is huge news, as you well know, scoring just 5 runs in the 3 games over the weekend, but you can kind of tell that this lineup without those guys is not as potent as what Mike Rizzo and Davey Martinez had hoped for all this time. So it's big to have those guys back.
Yeah, no kidding, right? That's the understatement of the millennium right there, my friend. So, but get to this, CBK. We've been sort of kicking this around, Grant and I have, that if they're just at home quarantining and riding on their Peloton to try to keep in shape, ask them to come out and hit Major League pitching, that ain't easy. How active were these guys? Like, what do we know about what they were up to, right? We know so little because of all the health. We're basically left to play mystery and figure out who was who and who was positive and who was traced and all that other kind of stuff. What do we know about what they've been up to and how ready they might be to help?
Well, I saw them at Diamond Heroes, so they're good to go.
Okay.
No.
That caught me for a second. I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, okay, yeah, Diamond Heroes. But just like what Patrick Corbin said, you know, you can't get ready for a start by throwing at home. I mean, Bell and Harrison and Schwarber can't do that. If they're positive for COVID, they can't be at the facility. So it's going to take a little bit of time for them to warm back up. Obviously, all this time and batting practice and stuff is stuff we don't know about. But, yeah, it might take them a little while to get that rhythm back, but hopefully it will happen sooner or later. It seems like with John Lester, when they get him back, he's going to have a simulated game first before he's reinstated. And hopefully hitters will be able to get their timing back quicker than pitchers. That's what they're hoping for. They also designated catcher Jonathan Lucroy for assignment. They're going to keep him on the roster, I think, for a little while to try to get him up to 10 years full pension in Major League Baseball service time. So that's a nice thing for the Nationals to do to try to keep him. But they're back to Yan Gomes and Alex Avila, which is what Mike Rizzo wanted at the beginning of the year to be the catchers for this club.
Yan Gomes is here. Byron, thank you. Appreciate you, buddy. I think we lost Byron. I don't know what that was. But thank you, Byron.
Well, goodbye anyway,
good
man.
Info good info as to always. Talk to you. I see that there's a Red Wings fan on hold who wants to talk about how awesome Anthony Mantha is.
All right.
So that's exciting. Several of you guys want to hop in on this Verona deal. I also want to look back at how instrumental he was when they won the Cup and how he fell out of favor. And what happened that led to him being in the doghouse, getting benched for multiple games about a week ago, and now today traded. There's going to be a time in the not-too-distant future. Backstrom slows down, and Ovechkin is no longer winning Rocket Richard trophies. And it was supposed to have been, at that time, Wilson, Cousy, and V's team.
Right. We saw it with the Nationals. Guys step up and graduate. They get larger and larger roles.
Vrana is now going to be with the Red Wings.
Yeah.
What does this do for the Caps' chances this year? Massive trade right ahead of the deadline that just came and went in the NHL. 800-636-1067 is the number. Gambit DC listener lines open. We will get to you guys. We'll give you our thoughts next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Vrana has been traded today at the trade deadline. The Caps giving up their 25-year-old wing, who scored a goal against the Penguins in the second game of that seven-game series in the 18-cup run, scored a goal and had two assists and a three-point night in game six of that series. He then scored a goal against Tampa Bay before that goal in the final of five games in the Stanley Cup against the Vegas Golden Knights. He was critical during that run. One of our favorite players as a show ever, because during the parade, he was on a bus, and we had Jason Bishop throw him his cell phone so that we could talk to Jake Verana while he was on a bus during the Stanley Cup parade.
That was one of the highlights, man, of that day. We're at Elephant and Castle, just crammed into the corner. There's Jason Bishop going, hold on one second. Tosses the phone up. Verana, after a crackle, like a fumble. Hello? Ah! Place goes crazy. Oh, it was the best.
Like, what are you guys doing? What are you doing?
What are you doing?
Wills in Stafford wants to chime in. Will, the Caps are not a fast team. They lack speed, and they just traded arguably their fastest skater for a player that is a better fit for kind of what they're doing right now and someone who's been equally as productive as a goal scorer on a much less gifted offensive team in Anthony Mantha. What do you make of this deal for the 6'5", 235-pounder from Detroit?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call, man. I love the deal, man. Basically, when it comes down to Vrana, man, I'll never forget what he did for us. But when you don't forecheck, but you pot 20, 30, 40 goals a year, people kind of look the other way. But when you don't forecheck and you don't score, you can become expendable. And unfortunately, that's what happened. But Mantha, he's got wheels like Michael Grabner. He can fly. He's kind of built like Jason Arnott. I mean, he's a good player. As far as the draft pick, giving up a first rounder is tough. But if you look, I mean, they've got Michael, Fervari, Lafriere. They got some good guys in the pipeline. And I think going forward, the team's going to be drastically different. They'll probably lose Oshie, I'm thinking, in the expansion draft to Seattle. But
possible.
Right now, I think it gives them a great chance to win. I love Mantha. I love his game, playing NHL 21. I mean, he's a good player.
That's a good problem.
And it's a good
knowledgeable
bit.
Hockey guy right there. I'll take that call every time.
I will as well. My only rebuttal would be I don't think he can fly. I mean, he might be an okay skater, but
maybe like full head of steam can go, but right. Like there's that short area quickness as well.
Yeah, and I'm not going to pick nits. My point is just this is not a move because you brought in speed.
Right.
You got slower and you already weren't particularly fast. But you're bigger, you're heavier, you're more physical. The types of things that this team is, they're kind of doubling down on.
Yeah.
And they're trying to improve upon that. I also think, I don't know that you got a worse goal scorer. I really believe this is a guy that could score 30 goals in Washington. You've seen it with Brett Connolly. You've seen it with TJ Oshie. These guys that come here.
Connor Sheary's getting his own version of that this
absolutely.
Year, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. You get a little bounce. And Sheary's a former 20-goal guy, and he'll be right back there with this Caps team if he hangs out for a couple of seasons. But when you go from an organization in Detroit that scores 212, 215 goals in a year to a team here that's going to score 275, 280, and you were a 24-goal guy there, what would you be here? I think there is a real possibility he could score 30 goals. Let's go to Hunter in Augusta on GND. Hunter, I hear you are a Red Wings fan, correct?
That is correct, gentlemen. Die hard. Die hard.
Tell us about our newest capital, then.
I'm sick to my stomach. Y'all got an outstanding hockey player. So for those that might not have seen Anthony Mantha play that much or just kind of here and there, when I look at Anthony Mantha, I think about a prototypical power forward. His potential, his ceiling, he reminds me of Brendan Shanahan from those legendary 97, 98, and 02 Cup teams there in Detroit with the Wings. His biggest knock is probably his streakiness, right? Sometimes he goes cold. But I don't really see that as a super big concern. You look at the numbers, and the numbers don't necessarily add up. You're thinking, okay, the guy, he's capped out at 25 goals. What are we giving up two picks and two forwards for this guy for? But you're talking about a dude that can bring physicality to the ice, that can drop the gloves, that can score goals, that can feed the puck, to the other goal scorers on the ice. You look at that injury history that hasn't allowed him really to play a full season outside of the 17-18 season, breaking a hand in a fight, getting a punctured lung after getting thrown on the ice, thrown out his shoulder in a fight. So I think when you look at what the Caps have, and I think the Caps definitely have, physicality, Mantha doesn't have to be a fighter. He doesn't need to do all that. I think Laviolette will straighten that out and make him and force him to be a more distant player because he can still bring that physicality and lay a dude out in open ice, and he can still combine that physicality with that offensive skill so he can go out there and he can score goals and he can get those assists and he can be a 40-goal season type of guy.
Wow.
Putting up 60, 70, 80 points. I sincerely, when I saw my stepdad texted me about it, and I'm sitting here just doing some work, and I see to the Caps, and then I got another buddy of mine who's a fluent in Junkiese, and he said, is Mantha silly? And I said, I started putting two and two together, and I said, oh, no.
You're
no.
No, said, not that.
Not trying to be a jerk, but your pain makes me a little bit happy. That actually got me fired up.
Silly, though. I'll say this, Hunter, take care of V. He's an awesome guy.
He's our special little boy.
My
we love him.
Wife loves this guy. I mean, we've hung out with him a couple times out and about where we've bumped into him in public or we've seen him at an event. He is so friendly and just kind and nice, and he gets in his own head sometimes. He gets in his own way, but he's fast. He can shoot. He's talented. So take care of Jake Ferrana for us, all right?
I'll give a call up to Detroit there at Little there Caesars, go. And I'll see what I can't do.
I appreciate you, buddy. Let's go to an expert who's on the hotline right now on the BetQL guest hotline, our buddy Alan May. Work with him over at NBC Sports Washington. You watch him pre and post, before and after every game. So, Alan, we just had a Red Wings fan call in who's beside himself because he just loves Mantha and he's coming to D.C. What did you make? Were you surprised? It was about a week ago. You and I were watching one of the two games together where V wasn't available because he'd been parked by Peter Laviolette. Were you surprised they traded him today?
I wish I could say it was absolutely certain. I thought if they were going to make a trade, it had to be a big one, and it had to be an equal get. And, you know, this is, a lot of people don't know who Anthony Mantha is, but the guys who work at hockey like myself every single day that live, eat, and breathe this stuff, I've always been aware of him. And, you know, when he was drafted, why he was drafted, where he was drafted, the injuries that he's had. But this guy, you know, he's played almost the same amount of games as Jacob Vrana, and he's got about 20 more goals. He's a specimen. He's 6'5", 235 pounds. He's worked his ass off to get his body built up after, I think it was a broken leg. So he's an NHL skater. He's got great hands, just like Jake. They're different players. They're both goal scorers. And he's been suffering in Detroit. He has not played a playoff game in, 5 years as a regular, 4 years there as a regular. They've never made the playoffs. And most people who are listening to our show probably can't give you 3 or 4 guys that are on the Red Wings. So you think about that. Now he gets to come to a team like the Washington Capitals. And I think it's going to be a good fit for him because you're going to have to play the New York Islanders if you win your first round or second round, however it's going to be. You're going to have to battle hard. And, you know, getting back to Jake, I am shocked that all of a sudden he was being a healthy scratch. And I thought he was going to be on the verge of, you know, a season like this season being maybe, you know, a 35-40 goal scorer. And, you know, stats are decent, 11 goals, 39 games. But it just hasn't been there since the Stanley Cup season when you look at the playoffs. You know, the 2 years ago against Carolina, 7 games, 0 points. In the bubble this summer, 0 points. And there was obviously not a good chemistry with the coaching staff. And, you know, he just wasn't presenting himself as good as we've seen him in the past. So I hate to see him go because I love being around the person. Jake is just a happy-go-lucky kid. And that's the bad part of the business is people come, people go. And he was a great kid, and he's a Stanley Cup champion with the Washington Capitals, so we'll always have that.
Alan, it sounds like Mantha fits exactly with who this Capitals team is. Big, tough, can put it in the back of the net as well. He's going to fit in well with Coach Laviolette's system. My fear is the speed of some of these other teams, and the Caps got a little bit slower, right? Whether short area quickness or otherwise with Mantha. How do they counter that, right? Some of the speed of teams like Pittsburgh and otherwise, how do they deal with that now with this new acquisition?
Well, people keep saying the Caps are slow. If they play properly, you can't tell who's fast and who's slow. Mm. And that's the big thing. It's going to be a systems win, just like the year they won the Cup. They weren't fast. No one had them picked to win the Cup. So it's about right now. And this isn't the show to throw a shot at Jacob, you know, but did we notice Jacob? How many times this season did you notice his speed? And, you know, in the last, was it game by game? No. Was it week by week? No, something was missing this season. I wasn't quite right. And, you know, so when we go with that, we're, you know, there's not much difference in speed. Like, what are you getting accomplished on the ice? Like, you can be fast all you want, but the things that won last night in Boston for the Capitals didn't have anything to do with speed. It had to do with winning your puck battles, making the right puck plays, doing everything correctly. And whether Boston had players missing or not, you still have to execute on the ice. So the bottom line is right now, the Capitals, I think, are more suited with this kid at 6'5", 234 pounds. Who can stick handle, who can shoot, who can body on a puck, who can muck and grind. And I think he's more suited. I'm not taking shots at Jake, but I just think right now with the way the Caps need to play to win playoff games and win rounds in the playoffs, not just the games, is he's going to help this team. So we'll just forget that was trade was even made. This player is a good addition. He's a great addition.
Alan May on Grant and Daniel. I want to double-click on something that you mentioned in just a moment, which was that – maybe they're not as slow as people think. You know, there are games where they get exposed for that, obviously. But go into that real quick in our final minute here, Alan. Like, well, you said if they're playing correctly, you won't notice it. What do you mean by that?
Well, the first person on the puck inside the offensive zone or the other team's zone, getting to the puck. And if you can't get to the puck first, you've got to get in front of it. You've got to get between their players. And that week, where you know, they had a bad week, and they were getting late to the puck, and they were exposing. Basically, they were letting the team play 5-on-4 against them, letting them wind up with speed, no matter who they were. They could have been the slowest team in the league, but they were letting them get ahead of the puck. And as they came into the zone, the Caps were flat-footed with the system they were playing, and they could just not catch up. So the first-man progress of the Capitals, like last night, the pressure they were putting on the defense with the first forechecker or attacker, was excellent. It was good in Buffalo, too. And puck placement, you know, just playing smart hockey. I don't care how fast your team is. I don't care how slow, how many veterans, how many rookies. You have to execute. And when the Caps weren't executing in the last week, it was a nightmare. And we look at the last couple of games, the execution was close to flawless. And the few times it wasn't, the other team got a goal.
Alan, you're the best, buddy. Appreciate you hopping on short notice, man. Thank you.
Take care, guys. Bye.
Be well. Huge trade for the Capitals on deadline day. Breaking news on Grant and Danny. Next, we told you we'd talk to a Super Bowl hero today, and we're going to do that next. Former Super Bowl MVP Doug Williams joins us on Grant and Danny.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It is not every day you get to talk to a living legend and a former Super Bowl MVP, but luckily for us on Grant and Danny, today is one of those days. We'll get back into what is going on with the Nats, who are getting Josh Bell and Kyle Schwarber, Josh Harrison back tonight against the Cardinals. We'll get back into the Caps in just moments. They've made two big trades today, including sending Jake Virenha out for Anthony Manta. But right now, let's get to the BetQL guest hotline. Welcome onto the show, the great Doug Williams. Love having him on the program. Anytime we get a chance to do it, we make it work. Doug, thanks so much for hopping on. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure.
Glad to be on.
You got it. So we wanted to ask you about what's going on with what you guys are calling FAN, the Fan Ambassador Network, which is a group of Washington football team fans who are going to serve as voices representing the fan base. And some perspective as you guys go through this rebranding process, and you've been tasked with heading this. What's going on exactly?
Yes, along with Joey, you know, this is a lot of fun, man. It's a side of the coin that I didn't envision. I didn't see. This gave me a great opportunity to be able to mess with the fans and watch them understand what it's all about branding, and make them be a part of what we're doing. You know, it's seven faces to this whole thing, the way we broke it down. And with me and Joy being judges of who's going to end up being the fan ambassador, it makes it tough on us, but at the same time, it gives the fan their voice. And I think that's what it's all about. Like community, the culinary, the culture, the entertainment part, the fashion, the family experience, and the Sunday Funday. You know, that's those seven areas that we're going to be working on.
Doug, where can you give us kind of an update? Just give us a window into some of the conversations where you and Jason Wright and some of the other folks you mentioned. Where are you guys right now in terms of that rebrand?
Well, you know, meeting with Jason and Julie every week is entertainment and give you an idea of what you have to do. And bringing Joey on, you know, he's going to be dealing with the dancers and that group. But at the same time, his main focus is going to be with this fan advisory network, you know, and with the community, help define the community, mean presence throughout the DMV, you know, something that I know I'm trying to do. Now, who are the fans? Who are they? Who are we looking for? Who we want to be there when game time comes? The culinary part of tailgating, you know, food in the stadium that the fans have to deal with. Give them some kind of idea, you know, what we have to deal with. And this is what Jason and Julie, you know, we talk about what has to happen. It's more than just a football game. It's about the fans, too. And we want to make sure that they get involved in it.
Doug Williams on Grant and Danny, Super Bowl 22 MVP. You know, we got to ask you about the quarterback position. Ron Rivera and the football operation have decided to go with Ryan Fitzpatrick this season. You've been watching Fitz for a long time. What's your take on him?
I think everybody's been watching Fitz for a long time. And I'm sure the fans got something to say about it. You know, they know that when it comes down to a guy that's tough, that's going to give you everything he's got, and with the way our offense runs, you know, this going to be basically this going to be what he needs to be in. It's going to be an offense that's going to be get it out of his hands quick, get it to the running back, and let him work. So I think with Fitz coming over and give him time to find that guy for the future.
Speaking of the future, where are you at on you go get a guy like Fitz for this season, but you do still pick in the first round? I mean, if you were a quarterback and a team drafted a first rounder, would you be looking over your shoulder? Because I've always been of the belief, well, you could have two guys, no big deal. But you see what happened in Philly with Carson Wentz and Jalen Hurts. We've seen it blow up here a little bit with Griffin and Cousins. It doesn't always work. It seems like you really have to have a fit in that room more than just feeling like a starter and a backup and they'll be fine to coexist.
Well, I think if you got a guy that's been in the league 14 years, like Fitz had played with as many teams that he's played with, he understands that the team is looking for a future. And I think he'd be more receptive to it. So I don't think that would be a problem for him.
Doug, what's the most important thing that's got to be better this year on offense, in your opinion, for this group to get to where Scott Turner and Ron Rivera and company want to ultimately go? They need to score more points, I think. That's pretty obvious. What do you think has to be the first thing that's got to improve for them to get better on that side of the ball?
Well, I think, you know, you know, not being in that area anymore is kind of tough, but just watching the game, you know they got to be able to control the ball a little more and put points on the board. You're right about that point. And I think let the defense work. The more the offense on the field, the more the defense going to work better.
Doug Williams with us on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. I'm not sure how much college ball you watch this year, but pretty amazingly, Doug, we could have four quarterbacks go in the top four picks in this year's draft. I mean, does it amaze you at all just how much value is placed on that position now, where there was a time, you know, a guy has a second or third round grade, they went in the second or third round. Nowadays, guys, a second or third round grade, they're going 12th overall because teams just have to take them before someone else does.
Quarterback league. That's what it is. There's a quarterback league. If you got that guy, you got a chance. And I think that you look at the playoff, it's proven that it's all about the quarterback. And at the end of the day, if he's still standing and he's standing tall, your team gonna stand tall.
Doug, I want to get back, and Doug Williams is with us here on Grant and Danny, kind enough to give us a few minutes. Get back to the Fan Ambassador Network quickly. What are some of the responsibilities and duties? I got a couple folks that I think would be good nominees, but I want to make sure they know what they're getting into before I throw their hat in the ring. What are some of the things that fan ambassadors are going to have to do, and what are their perks?
Well, we don't know what the perks are, but we're talking about it. But you know what? The more ambassadors that we have, and they don't have to be like what you see and Al Roker did that morning on the show, that they got to be a celebrity. We want everyday people to be fan ambassadors. And I think that's where it comes. We want them to be able to, when we meet with them, and it's going to be anywhere from seven to eight ambassadors in each category. And when we meet with them, we want their ideas around the team, what they feel like it should be, whether or not it's dealing with the fashion, you know, the merchandise and the gear, the family experience and what it's like on game day for the kids and every family, the community part of it, the presence around the DMV, fun Sunday, you know, just the crowd looking to take advantage of every minute weekend that goes on. So we want an everyday people fan base to be these ambassadors. That's what we're looking for.
Doug, what are your best?
Right now,
go ahead. Sorry.
No, right now, we got over 800 ambassadors that we got to choose from. And that's the exciting part of it. You know, we want them to understand that, you know, if we don't pick them, that don't mean that whatever their input is, it's not important to the team, because it is.
What's your best keepsake from the Super Bowl run? Is there anything particular that you have that you cherish, you know, in terms of something you kept that you've got in the man cave or anything like that?
Yeah, I still have my jersey and my helmet. Actually, I put it on loan to the Hall of Fame. I got that. But for the most part, I do have my towel that I wore. I got my warm-up that I had on.
You got the whole wardrobe.
I love it.
How long was it at the hole? But how long did you have to give it up for before you got it back?
It's still there. It's on loan to him right now.
Oh, I got you.
And, you know, I can get it back within the next year or so. But at the end of the day, it's just I can either give it to them from a standpoint or I can bring it back home. So I'm deciding what I want to do with it.
Doug, thank you so much, as always, for joining us. It sounds like you got a lot of work ahead of you with some of those selections, man. So I appreciate you giving us some time.
Well, that's the good part about it. A lot of work, get a chance to meet the fans and just be able to collaborate with them and see what they think about being a fan.
Great having you back on the show. Be well, Doug.
All right, thank you.
Thanks.
Doug Williams on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. I like the idea. The more involvement of the fans, the more ambassadors from this fan base involved in the process of the rebrand, I think the better in the long run.
More Tailgate Ted should have voices. I'm dead serious about that. Like that's totally the first person I thought of for this. Like all he's ever done is loved the team so much. There's so many guys like that and gals that have
Tailgate
stuck with
Ted
you.
Ted drives to FedEx Field to eat lunch in the parking lot in the middle of the offseason. Yeah. Because he hasn't parked in the parking lot in a while.
Yeah, it's like
he
March 15th.
He deserves to be involved.
That guy should be an ambassador. There are plenty of folks like that. That they absolutely should be kind of captains, leaders, and sounding boards for the team. I think it's a great idea.
There is a lot going on today. Just breaking news all over the place. Mm. A headline by the Nats getting players back from the COVID list. The Caps making trades. We'll cover both and more in our 5 at 5 next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.